This is the 401 Podcast. Join Rhode Island sports journalist and basketball scribe Kevin McNamara with guests from the Ocean State sports scene and beyond. Now, here's your host, Kevin McNamara.
Hello and welcome to the 401 Podcast on Kevin Mac Sports. I'm your host, Kevin McNamara. Thanks for joining me. Hey, March Madness is here at last. After a long COVID-dominated regular season college basketball, well, we've made it to the NCAA tournament. That in itself is quite an achievement. While passing the next COVID test was always the biggest achievement of the week for every college basketball program, more than 80% of the scheduled games around the country did take place this winter. Well, now it's time to see if we can get perfection for the next 3 weeks. It will not be easy. Already, several referees were bounced from the controlled environment in Indianapolis. Seems they went out for a little steak dinner just before checking into their hotel rooms. Then someone tested positive the next day, and the whole group was contact traced out of the tournament. Anyways, on this edition of the 401 Podcast, I'm happy to welcome a New England basketball legend who saw his share of NCAA tournament success. Danye Abrams starred on three NCAA teams at Boston College in the mid-1990s. As a freshman in 1994, he provided the inside hammer for a senior-dominated team led by Billy Curley, Howard Eisley, Malcolm Huckabee, and Gerard Abrams. The Eagles enjoyed their greatest ever run, upsetting North Carolina in the second round, Indiana in the Sweet 16, before losing to Florida in the Elite Eight. I'm excited to talk about that run and break down this year's bracket with Danye Abrams. Danye, first of all, thanks very much for joining me.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
So, Danye, we want to start out with the news up at Boston College in this last week with the hiring of a new head coach. Jim Christian's run was difficult. BC has certainly had problems finding the right mix in the ACC in the last few coaches. What's your initial reaction to the new coach?
Yeah, I mean, it was shocking, like a lot of people, across the nation. But at the end of the day, we have to understand that they did their due diligence and went deep dive and thought they found the right candidate for the new head men's basketball coach up there at Boston College.
What do you think Earl Grant needs to do? If there are two things that could jumpstart the program, what type of advice would you offer Coach Grant?
No, just we've said for the last couple of years that the BC needs to get guys that are under the radar that work hard, but you have to lock down the borders, meaning you have to be able to keep the New England kids in New England and pick a couple from the tri-state area and then build upon that.
Mm-hmm. And then facilities-wise, I guess there's news up there about a practice facility. Is that true?
So, yeah, that is true.
That's great.
There is going to be a practice facility coming up. They've donated BC's done a great job over the last couple of years getting it ready. And now, hopefully soon, they'll break ground.
Danye, no more Power Gym? I mean, everyone in New England has either watched a practice or a scrimmage in Power Gym. It's been there forever. I can't tell you how many Al Skinner practices I ended up popping in and seeing up there.
Well, from my understanding, it'll be Power Gym won't be gone, but it'll be someone else's name. But at the end of the day, you just need those four lines and those two baskets.
I got it. No question about it. And then just a little bit, it's funny with both Providence and Rhode Island not making the tournament this year. I've gone back and talked to some people who, they had great runs at Providence in the 90s and Rhode Island. Tyson Wheeler I caught up with and Jamel Thomas. You just missed those guys a little bit, correct? But, boy, you had some great games and great rivalry with Providence when you were up at the Heights.
Yeah, no, I mean, Providence was that 35, 40-minute bus ride that, you always knew was going to be a battle either way. I did have the pleasure playing against Jamel Thomas. How athletic and what a jumper and three-point shooter that kid was. Great talent. But, it was good. We had wars with Ruben Garces, Austin Crochier.
Okay.
The list goes on and on. It's God, Sham, God. And then I'll go even further. My freshman year, I was going up against, Dickie Simpkins and Mike Smith. Boy, what a way to welcome to the Big East as a freshman.
Eric Williams on that team as well.
Yes, and Eric Williams. I'm sorry, how did I forget about him? You'd kill me if I, you know, didn't mention that.
Yeah.
Happy to take a quick break from the 401 podcast and take a moment to tell everyone about our good friends and the great products at Manscaped.
Hey, 401 podcast fans, this is producer Kevin Collins here to tell you about our good friends at Manscaped. Have you filled out your March Madness bracket yet? Our sponsors at Manscaped, who are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, want to remind you to do so. Their precision-engineered tools for your family jewels will help you turn that Kentucky Wildcat in your pants into a South Carolina Gamecock. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. They have an exclusive offer for 401 podcast college basketball fans everywhere. 20% off plus free shipping with the code KMAC. That's KMC at manscaped.com. We all know how painful it can be to nick yourself in the worst possible places while trimming below the waist. Manscaped has created the best men's trimmer ever. The Lawnmower 3.0. Their trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for a more precise shave and is waterproof to make your shower shave clean and easy. Your purchase also goes toward a great cause, as Manscaped has partnered with Alex Caruso and the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer. Every purchase at manscaped.com goes toward contributions made to the Testicular Cancer Society. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code KMC at manscaped.com. Be the best ball handler this year with Manscaped.
Daniel, we do want to transition to the tournament here. People scrambling around to not fill out their brackets and maybe even bet a few games. In Rhode Island, see, we can bet down here in Rhode Island legally. So it's one of my sponsors, as a matter of fact, is the sports book up at Lincoln Park. So I think for this, for the 401 podcast, we'll just talk winners and not point spreads, if that's okay. But I'm curious your breakdown on pretty much all the ACC teams. You know, a quote down year in the ACC because there was no consistent top five, top 10 team. And yet they still get seven teams in, and I think several certainly have to be termed dangerous. We'll start over in the South. Carolina has a difficult game against Wisconsin. I'm curious what you think about North Carolina.
Yeah, I think North Carolina is peaking at the right time. I mean, they have, you know, a huge front court, and what's making North Carolina better now is that their back court is finally gelling together. I think North Carolina will make a run, but I just don't see them winning at all. But I definitely see them getting to at least the Sweet 16.
Well, they would see Baylor in the second round. I know you don't have a bracket in front of you, so I'll paint it out for you. That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
But again, if they have good guard play,
yeah.
North Carolina, I do remember. No, I have North Carolina getting to the Sweet 16.
You do? Okay. You have them knocking off Baylor. Also in the South is Virginia Tech, a really interesting team. Only played 21 games. They had a few COVID issues. They play a Florida team that has kind of been up and down in the SEC, but very talented. I'm curious what you think of the Hokies.
Yeah, that's a scary matchup for anyone. You know, it depends on what Florida team comes to play. We had the privilege to watch them in the Bubbleville at Mohegan Sun.
Oh, yes.
And, I mean, that team is just long, athletic, and gets after it defensively. But Virginia Tech, you know, again, you know, being in the conference, they have a lot of gritty guys also. But, it'll be a tough one that game.
Down in the Midwest, I think Syracuse got a really difficult draw. As an 11 seed, you're going to get a difficult draw, but San Diego State has been rolling out in the Mountain West, really dominated that league. What do you see in that game?
You know, the thing about Syracuse, and it happens every year, they always talk about, oh, you know, they're struggling, they're this, they're that, they're not winning. But the thing is, you know, playing in the ACC, teams know that long 3-2 zone. They get to play against it twice a year, and they understand the complexities of that zone defense. The reason why Syracuse does so well in the tournament is that these teams aren't used to this non-traditional 3-2 zone that Syracuse plays. It's kind of like a 4-out-1-in matchup zone. The only way that they can win is if they shoot the ball well from the three-point line, and Syracuse makes you drive to their bigs. So it'll be a tough one, but I do see San Diego State prevailing.
Yeah, I have them winning that game as well. This is an interesting game. Virginia plays Ohio University. Ohio University has a first-round draft pick as their point guard. in Virginia hasn't been able to practice because of COVID issues. They've been shut down since last Friday, I believe. Not going to be able to they'll be able to do one practice, I believe, on Saturday in Indianapolis, and then play on Sunday. Needless to say, this is not the time of year where you want to have to not practice for 5 days, right, Daniel?
No, it's tough, and we've seen it all season long where there is no normalcy to this season, and people don't understand, like, when you're in protocol or lockdown, you've alluded to it, you can't practice, you can't do anything, so you can't even get in the gym to run. The only thing you're really doing is probably running the stairs in the hotel room if you're very able to do that. But with Virginia having that layoff, I as much as I want to give the defending champs, the nod, I have to go with the other team because of this layoff.
Yeah, the spread has come down a little bit. I believe it opened at 8, and I think it's down to 6. So I think the sharps are a little nervous about Virginia as well. So Georgia Tech, difficult break there. Again, COVID issues. Their star guard Alvarado is not able to play this weekend. And sure enough, they drew Loyola Chicago, one of the hottest teams in the country. They're a really interesting a team. I've seen them once. They're the number one rated defensive efficiency team in the country on the KenPom. I believe they're 10th overall in KenPom, and yet their seed is in an 8-9 game. Really difficult situation there. But they might have caught a break by getting Georgia Tech without Alvarado, and Georgia Tech obviously is coming off an ACC tournament title.
I tell you, Georgia Tech is one of the most underrated teams to me in the nation. They have a lot of grit, a lot of teams that that team that just gets after it. Even without Alvarado, and I know it's a huge loss, I'm still going to go with Georgia Tech.
And they would face Illinois, a number one seed in the next round, which is they might be the most talented team in the country.
Next one, Illinois.
No. Yeah, that's it. My top team from the ACC all season long has been Florida State. They drew North Carolina Greensboro. Really don't know much about Greensboro. I'm curious your take on Florida State, because they're a team that I expected more from, because you just watch them play and they just oodles of talent, especially the freshman, Scotty Barnes. I'm curious what your take is on Florida State.
Florida State's a very dangerous team. The last couple of years, Coach Hamilton has had his team, get to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. I think that out of all the teams in the ACC, Florida State will make the longest run. I just think that it's hard to scout Florida State. What they do is they run and jump, they defend well, they're long, and it just basically comes down to if their big is getting foul trouble or not. I mean, they at every position they have a mismatch if they wanted it off of picking screens, creating that mismatch. And I just love the way they defend. And when Walker Jr. or Walker III gets going, when he's really rolling, that team is really impossible to beat.
Yeah, you're spot on. If they shoot the ball even okay from the outside,
right,
they're a very, very explosive team. Very explosive. Just want to transfer to the number one seeds. We'll start with Gonzaga. I'm sure you've seen them a little bit over the course of the year, and probably not that much in the last 2 months because they're on TV at odd times. Are they your number one seed in the entire tournament as well?
Unfortunately, they're not.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. On paper and everything they have, they're good teams. They're a great team. But I just think that every year, the way they just run through their conference, they're really not battle tested. And I think this year they only had a couple of games, outside of it where they played some, other Power Five schools.
Sure.
But they're still a scary and dangerous team. And I totally understand why they're, the overall number one. Not taking anything away from them, but I just think that, if their bigs get in trouble, foul trouble, which they have in a while. I think it's the kid Timmy, and I forget the other guy. But if they get in foul trouble, I think they're the ones that are going to be, upset the earliest in this tournament as a number one seed.
If the chalk holds there, they would face Virginia in a Sweet 16 game.
Right.
Is Virginia, you know, you know better than anyone, is, you know, might be the best coached team in the country, and one of those teams where if you're not used to playing against them, they can really provide an awful lot of problems. So that could be a speed bump for the Zags.
No, it could be. And what people always talk about, you know, Virginia, talking about, you know, Tony Bennett in the pack line defense. Yeah, you got to understand what pack line defense is. You know, it's just help and recovery. But what Tony Bennett does great is that he gets one-on-one defenders that can defend the ball, that don't get beat off the dribble. When you have players that don't get beat off the dribble, then you have a 7-1 guy in the back half. When they finally do get by you, it's tough to score. So that's what I love about Tony Bennett's teams. Like, everyone from 1 through 10 on that team guards the ball very well.
If it's not Gonzaga, which number one do you like overall?
Well, I mean, you know, my other number one before Livers got hurt was Michigan. I thought that they were playing some excellent ball. Their conference, being in the Big Ten, for me, was the top conference of the year this year.
Sure.
With all the – every game that you watch in the Big Ten was a grind.
Mm-hmm.
but without Livers, you know, we just have to see who steps up for Michigan. But I tell you who I got winning it all, and I know people are going to laugh at me. I've got to watch Houston play a couple of times this year. And I really think that Calvin Sampson, what he has down there, is something special. Those guys are tough. They don't care about the accolades. They're just out there pretty much just hooping, getting after guys, and going right through you. So that's my sleeper of the year. So I know all my friends are laughing at me about the bracket, but I said this year there is no normalcy, so I'm not going with the normal. So that's who I have.
I like it. I like it. You know, it's interesting. I have done a few of these brackets the last couple of days, and it's just really difficult to go away from some of these number one seeds, but it doesn't work out that way. It's as simple as that. You know, everyone wants, you know, 3 and even 4 number one seeds in the final four. It does not happen that way. So you got to find that. And certainly a Houston as a 2 seed is far from an underdog. But, you know, Illinois is Illinois. That would be the top dog in that Houston bracket, the Midwest. I'd love to see just Illinois and Houston go at it right now. That'd be an outstanding game.
That'd be outstanding. But the reason why I pick Houston is that Illinois is more of a, you know, Big Ten type of, you know, which they are in the Big Ten. They want to slow it down, grind you, you know, come off screens, pick, and then get the ball down low. And then they have that, you know, amazing guard. Mm-hmm. I forget his name.
Dosunmu. He's outstanding.
Yeah, but I just got to tell you, when I've watched Houston play, they defend well, they get up and down, and nothing bothers them. I've watched them play about like 10 games this year, and I was very impressed with what I saw.
If you need to stock up on lots of party supplies for the NCAA tournament games, head down to Haxton's Liquors on Bald Hill Road in Warwick for their great party deals. Haxton's has everything you need, all the top wines and spirits, plenty of beer, a huge selection of spiked seltzers, and all the mixers. Haxton's is always ready to serve you, so stop in and see my friends Tim and Bobby Haxton. They do an excellent job with social distancing and air filtration in their giant store. So mask up and say hello to the Haxton's. We're thrilled that they are proud sponsors of the 401 podcast on Kevin Mack Sports. Danny, remind me how many NCAA tournaments you were fortunate enough to play in at Boston College.
I was very fortunate. I got to go to 3 NCAA tournaments.
Great.
I got to go to an Elite Eight and a Sweet 16. So, very fortunate.
So, everyone remembers the upset of Carolina that I believe... maybe you were in the background, but I remember Billy Curley on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Did you get, you know, your face in that cover a tiny bit?
Oh, yeah, I snuck in there.
Nice.
I ran the curls. Everyone else ran to the locker room, but I ran the curls.
That's it. Is it safe to say that was your fondest NCAA tourney memory, or is it maybe something that, you know, I don't appreciate?
No, hands down. You know, just being that first year, I was kind of spoiled. You know, I got to play with four seniors, you know, Bill Curley, Howard Eisley, Gerard Abram, and Malcolm Huckabee.
Oof, good team.
And all I had to do was just to be the enforcer, rebound, set picks, and go get it off the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, you know, by game 28, they started running plays for me.
Well, they had to figure – the seniors, you know, they don't want to let the young guy eat. That's what it is.
I remember taking a couple of shots, and then Howard Eisley and Malcolm Huckabee giving me the look. You're like, okay, my bad. I got you. I'm going to swing that next one.
remind me who Carolina had, because I believe they were a number one seed. So knocking down that top seed is always – that's what March is all about.
Yeah, no, they were stacked. I remember the year before, I was home watching them in my living room win the national championship, and I'm saying, like, man, like, how do you beat that team? Like, you know, they're going to win it again next year. The next thing you know, guess who we're playing?
That's great.
The number one overall seed again, North Carolina. They had Eric Montrose, Rasheed Wallace, Jerry Stackhouse,
oof,
Dante Calabria.
Was Rick Fox? Was Rick Fox?
Derek Phelps.
Derek Phelps, sure, yeah.
I mean, they were just stacked.
Right. That's when they were recruiting like Duke recruits now. You know, they get all the five-star guys, of them.
I remember, you know, I was just so jacked up that I think like the first 3 minutes of the game, I think I just gave it all and I was done.
Well, Coach O'Brien ended up pulling the right strings in that one, that's for sure. Who did you guys get knocked out by that year?
We got knocked out. The next round, we beat Indiana. Bobby Knight, and then the last, we were down in Florida, Miami Arena, and we lost to Florida. They had Andrew DeClercq, Dimitri the Meat Hook.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they had Dan Cross,
okay,
and another guard, Brown. And I remember we were up 8 with about 4 minutes to go in that game, and right after the timeout, and we were like, we're 4 minutes away from the Final Four. And boy, did those guards catch fire.
That can happen down the stretch, right? You make some big shots, yeah, and the tide
ran
turns.
The same play 3 times in a row, and we knew it was coming. Like, you know, that's the one thing I'll give Coach O'Brien and the staff. We knew this is their money play. And with hands in their face, switched out, jumped everything, they just knocked down threes, three corner threes that changed the game. And we still had a chance to win, but Andrew DeClercq made an amazing block on Howard Eisley, which I thought was goaltending during the game, that probably would have helped us win the game. But as I went back and watched it over replay that night in the hotel, it was just a great, phenomenal play by him.
It's outstanding. Hey, Danier, thanks very much. Enjoy the tournament, and really enjoyed listening to you and Josh Maher on the BC call. And hey, maybe we'll get that BC-Providence series up and running again.
Hey, we need to. It's missed in New England. There's a lot of New England teams that I'd love to see BC play. And hopefully Earl Grant can get the Eagles back into talking where we're talking about their matchups in the NCAA.
Well, that's it for this week's 401 podcast. Thanks, as always, to producer Kevin Collins, to Danier Abrams from Boston College, and to our sponsors at Manscaped and Haxton's Liquors. We are now on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and Buzzsprout. Subscribe on whatever platform you enjoy most. Shoot us a like and look for the next edition of the 401 Podcast with Kevin McNamara.
Thanks for listening to the 401 Podcast with Kevin McNamara. Get the 411 on the sports scene in the 401 by subscribing to the 401 Podcast from KevinMacSports.com.